Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
Damn, what they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, a little behind schedule today, but obviously a few things to talk about.
Oh, man.
410, it's Ropp and Souk. So, coming up this hour, we've got our In the News segment prepared for you.
Sa, dudes.
We got Hockey Hour coming up at 5 o'clock. Don't worry, hockey bros. All hockey, all hour, 5 o'clock. No Blazer talk. Nothing but Sharks. Well, in Capitals tonight, it's another Game 7. I know you're excited about it.
Well, how are my moose knuckle Jaguars doing?
They haven't played in the second round yet. You know, okay. They beat Tampa in a historic upset.
Now I told you that.
Now we're waiting for round two.
Okay, so Damian Lillard has hit another series clinching buzzer beater. Now, that's a tight parameter set. So it has to have clinched an entire playoff series and no time left on the clock after the make. So a lot of people were bringing up Robert Horry, who has multiple huge playoff shots, big shot Bob.
But those are games, not closeout series.
As far as I can tell, he never had one to close out a series at all.
I thought I saw that there was only five of them in playoff history.
There are five. Now, I was tweeting about this last night, and I didn't know the answer. I was getting ready to dig in, but then somebody forwarded me on. So Eric Griffiths, I think is his name, and I want to say maybe he's Blazers Edge. He's on Blazers Twitter, and he's a good follow. And he had already done this because I was asking the question, how many guys in NBA history can you even say rank their series clinching playoff buzzer beater shots?
Now, does this count? Because like I know Jordan's against the Jazz. That was not a buzzer beater.
No, it was not.
Utah got the ball back.
Yes.
There wasn't much time, but Utah had another possession.
Right. That's right. No, that doesn't count. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So when you think about exactly what it means, Eric, somebody forwarded me on a thread on Twitter that Eric had already done the research on this, and he had found five. Now, it has come to light that there are actually more, because it's actually not the easiest thing to find. But what we do know right now is that you've got Ralph Sampson in 1986 hit one. Michael Jordan against the Cavs is the Elo shot in 1989.
Now, I remember the Ralph Sampson, his was to beat the Lakers, and that took the Houston to the finals against the Celtics. That was supposed to be the big rematch between Magic and Bird, and Houston had other plans, and Boston would go on and win that title. But, yeah, his shocked the Lakers. I remember that one.
And then you have Jordan again in 93. He hit one against the Cavs again.
That's the Craig Elo shot, right?
No, the Elo shot was 89.
It was the first one.
And then this was in 93. He hit that one over Gerald Wilkins, and that was for a sweep, to complete the sweep. Then you have John Stockton, who hit one in 1997, and then you have Damian Lillard in 2014 against Houston and Damian Lillard again last night. Those were the initial five. Now, it sounds like, and I haven't followed up on this yet, but it sounds like Eric has found at least one, if not two more, but they're different players. So we can say that there are only two guys in history who have ever hit more than one series clinching buzzer beater in the playoffs, and it's Michael Jordan and Dame Lillard.
And last time I checked, that Michael Jordan guy pretty good at basketball.
So how do you think Paul George feels about being the new Craig Elo?
that is true that that will go down in every NBA highlight reel for a long, long time. And Paul George has to watch it. And boy, he was salty. Like, they were salty all series, but Paul George couldn't even handle it like a man.
No.
Like, how hard is it to just step up to the podium? Well, you've been vanquished, and to just say, look, I thought I played good defense on him, and damn it, that's a big time shot. Tip of the cap, much respect. But he had to do the bitchy moany. It'll never get talked about, but that's a bad shot.
Well, that's OKC though. That's their mojo.
That's them.
But look, I think that Chandler Parsons also had a good tweet last night. I don't know if you saw it, but he said, happens to the best of us. Because
he was the one that Lillard hit over on the .9 shot.
Yeah, the Houston, he screwed up. He was in the wrong spot and had to close out fast and didn't get there in time, and Lillard had the open look.
And McHale was on the call last night on the TNT broadcast, and McHale even joked, he goes, it's nice just to be sitting here for a change as opposed to being on the other end of that, because McHale was the coach of the Rockets when he hit the .9 shot.
So... you can call Chandler Parsons Craig Elo and Paul George Gerald Wilkins, whatever. They're only two guys, which is pretty amazing. Now, which do you think is better, the Houston shot or the
this one? It's not even
Oklahoma
close.
City shot.
Isn't even close.
This one's better. That one was more impactful because of the.
Yeah, I think that one was pretty big because they were going to lose that series. This series, I don't think they were.
Right, that's
lose.
What I'm saying. This one was better because of the distance of the shot and the difficulty of it. That one was more impactful because of the situation in the series and also letting it go with 0.9 seconds.
But I think when you take
on an inbounds, play.
I think you take overall where this team had been and getting out of the first round now versus then, a 37-foot step back with the chippiness that had gone on over Paul George. I mean, the 0.9 shot was great, but to me, it's not even close. That when you ask me to think about Damian Lillard, the first thing that will come to my mind is that right there. And just the wave goodbye, the mean mug, his brother running out onto the court, just all of that stuff. Nurkic on the bench. That will be one of those that I will remember. My son's not even a huge sports fan, and he came down with about maybe 5-6 minutes to play in that
game. My son is an idiot.
And was like, what do you watch? I said, oh, the Blazer game. And he sat down and watched it with me, and not even a huge NBA fan. And my son just dropped one of these. Oh my, like that was his reaction to it. I just, that's as good as you can get. As great as .9 was, it doesn't even come close to me what happened last night.
All right. So Damian Lillard's the reason why the Blazers are moving on. And the beauty of this is Denver or San Antonio, it'll probably be Denver, but they are both. You know, the Blazers can beat both of those teams in a 7-game series the way Damian Lillard is playing. That's the exciting thing. It's not like you win a series and then you look up and go, oh, God, it's the Warriors again, right? Yeah. So that we'll get into probably more. Well, we'll watch the Denver-San Antonio game tomorrow, and then we'll be able to talk more about that. But that's kind of the fun of this. And, you know, the one other thing I want to say about Lillard before we move on to a couple of other aspects of that game.
Well, I thought we were going to move on to the hockey talk. All hockey, all the time.
No one cares.
Damn you.
By the way, we already spent like half a segment on the Sharks and everybody got pissed.
I just love like some of the guys like texting in are like, are you serious? Are you going to talk hockey at 5? No, we're not.
Yeah, we're not stupid.
Calm down, text program.
Oh, yes, we are.
Calm down.
But we kind of know what we're doing.
It's called sarcasm. Look into it.
Yeah, isn't that the worst when people don't get that you're joking about things?
I tweeted last night. So Lillard hit a 3 for, he had 42, but they were down. I don't know, they were down at that point by 8 or 9 or whatever, and he had one assist. And I tweeted out, I'm like, one assist? Lillard's really got to start playing better. And, of course, Twitter goes nuts. I got Blazer fan up my keister. I'm like, guys,
it's a joke.
Sarcastic, right?
Yeah, it's a joke.
He's got 42, one assist. He's doing
That's
okay.
That's why you just need to just... tweet and then just put it down. Don't even worry about...
Just walk away.
The reaction, because people will... 50% of them won't get it.
Yeah,
the other 25% will be mad because they just want to be mad about something.
I was amazed at how many people were pissed. Like, you tried doing what Lillard's doing. No one's doing a thing. He's carrying the whole team. Jeez.
Jokes, guys. Calm down. It's just sports. Jesus.
We're okay.
No, the one thing I was going to say about Lillard that I really liked what he said, and I was actually listening for him to say this. He said, we're not finished. And I love that because, and he even admitted, he said
in the years past,
hey, in years past, you can succumb like, it's a long ass season and you win a playoff series and you get to the next round and you're just happy to be there.
Yeah. You're good.
And you're, yeah. And you do, it's hard to keep up that intensity and you can succumb to that. And he admitted that. I thought that was great. And so I think it's really good that he said, hey, and he's even acting. He's not just talking the talk. He's walking this walk, that it doesn't, you know, that was a big moment, but he doesn't look finished.
No.
And that's the exciting thing, right?
He said that, their goal is not to get out of the first round of the playoffs.
That dude is playing well, man.
And you could see it, even with the emotion, everyone was hyped up. The one guy that was just stone cold was Damian Lillard. And there's a couple good pieces. Quick had one on The Athletic. Chris Haynes on the Yahoo one was really good, where he got to go to his house. They have a pretty good relationship. Lillard's not in screwing around mode. In no way is he going to take his foot off the gas. And who knows?
Exciting.
You know, there's no cakewalk coming here, whether it's Denver or San Antonio, especially if it's Denver. But that's not a guy that's going to let this team get lazy.
I have three individuals to recognize that are not Damian Lillard, and we'll do that next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, in the news coming up next, we've got a Tigered sports bar fight, which we'll talk about, and a lottery winner comes forward. But three bits of recognition, and these people have already been recognized at some point throughout today's show, but I wanted to specifically mention them. One, recognition number one, CJ McCollum got in foul trouble and just wasn't out there.
Nope.
But in the fourth quarter, he was enormous. And particularly in the last, you know, in that run, they were down 15. During that run, he made a lot of big shots, man.
A couple of those mid-range jumpers that were
nobody is going to really talk about that because it's Lillard in the buzzer beater. But CJ McCollum stepped up big, and they didn't have anybody else step up most of the night, like at all. And they needed him in those spots, and he did it. Recognition number two, Enes Kanter playing hurt, man. That guy gutted it out. And I know you recognized that earlier, but
he had a couple monster. I want to say it was at least two, if not three, huge offensive rebound putbacks.
I didn't see his final stat line.
I'm looking here to see what he ended up with. So Kanter ended up with 13 points on 6 of 9 shooting.
All right.
And he had, I'm going to look at he had 13 rebounds. 6 of those were on the offensive glass. And I said 3 of those I know came in the fourth quarter. I know in 2, they were putbacks, if not 3 during that run, to kind of close that gap, because they kept going and put in one of the smalls on him. There was a couple times that Westbrook ended up on him, and Kanter backed him down and got easy looks at the rim and was a monster on the glass.
Well,
he allowed them to be in that position there in the fourth quarter for Lillard to hit the big shot.
But he's just the idea that he was really freaking hurt.
Yeah.
Like, you could see it on his face. He deserves a lot of credit, because a lot of guys, I mean, I don't know how guys would handle that, but he
duffed it out.
Yep, he just gutted it out. And the third bit of recognition goes to Yusuf Nurkic, who showed up on the bench. Although, is it safe for him to be all hopped up on painkillers and then driving through town?
Maybe
an Uber there?
I'm going to hope an Uber was involved, or maybe his lady drove him, because it did say that he was loaded up on painkillers. But
he didn't look great out there.
No.
He looked a little pasty and sweaty. And
you know. It's not like that's a minor injury that he had there.
Well, you don't think his leg feels good? Although he wasn't in a brace, really, was he? I couldn't really tell.
I couldn't tell if maybe there was a boot underneath.
It almost looked like he went boss and just rolled out there with his leg dangling.
Did you see he had crutches with him, and Lillard tried to give them to him in the locker room afterwards, and he was like, yeah, no, I don't need those.
Ed Stotts recognized his plus minus of 11, plus 11.
Yeah.
He was it was a 13-2 run once he showed up. Well, I thought that was really cool. And he didn't have to do that.
No.
And he showed up at the arena.
He said that in his effort quote, he said he thought he could make a difference. And they did say that it gave him a little spark. I don't know if that meant the difference in winning or losing, but I thought it was it shows you how tight this team is, and just kind of the I don't know, the family atmosphere. And I roll my eyes at that a lot because I think in sports sometimes we make way too much of that. And there's a lot of teams that don't get along and they do just fine.
Oklahoma City. What?
But I do think that you've got something special. Did you hear Cantor on the herd today?
No.
So Lynch, will you go see if you can find a clip there? So
the herd on the fan.
Yes.
Nine to noon.
So Cantor was on there and he was asking just kind of the difference between playing with, you are correct, playing with Westbrook and with Lillard. And mm-hmm. he admitted that playing with Westbrook can be really hard because everything is angry, right. chip on the shoulder, violent. And he said with Lillard, there's just a positivity there. Yep. And he did say that playing with Westbrook, and he kind of laughed about it, can be really, really tough and taxing. And I think there is something to that.
That's what I was pointing out the other day. I was like, this series is such a great look at two totally different teams, Oklahoma City more talented. But I just feel like every guy who's not named Russell Westbrook or Paul George, and maybe even Paul George to some extent, certainly Billy Donovan, is walking on eggshells. Yeah. Like you can just see it. You can see it in how they play. You can see it in Billy Donovan. When Donovan, I think there was a point in the third quarter where Westbrook looked like he wanted to check back in and Donovan told him no. And it looked like Westbrook was just kind of telling him to F off and Donovan just walked away. Like you could just see all that. And I think you can see that on the court. You can see that in how they play. Whereas with the Trailblazers, I think that one of the reasons why everybody thinks their supporting cast is better than it is because Lillard, he believes in those guys. And he, like Zach Collins, I think is playing better because he's with Damian Lillard than Zach Collins would playing with Russell Westbrook. As a matter of fact, he probably wouldn't sniff the floor playing with Russell Westbrook because he wouldn't believe in him, right? And so that's what happens when you have a leader like Damian Lillard. Is you can see it in the play of the role guys, including Myers Leonard, I think is another great one. And when Damian Lillard, again, is Cantor, as you pointed out, I didn't hear the interview, but he said the positivity. That's huge. Guys need that. Myers Leonard knows his struggles. He knows that he can't be out there, you know, like dropping 50. But he needs to be also enabled and he needs to be positively reinforced, just like all human beings. And when you have a leader like that, where you're not looking over your shoulder or walking on eggshells, he's going to be pissed at you because you made a mistake. That allows you to free up and play more freely and play better. And Lillard does that better than anybody in the league. And I don't understand why guys like Westbrook can't get that.
Yeah, he even said that, you know, with the kind of the chippiness back and forth, he said Lillard pulled everyone aside and said, we're not going to do that, right? The Blazers' kind of professional attitude in this series came from Lillard. He's like, we're not going to engage in that.
Well, their whole franchise, he is their entire franchise.
Yes.
Man. I mean,
yes.
He is affecting all of this. He really is.
And you hope that with this sort of performance on a national stage, and look, you've got a chance here. You got a chance to make a special run because Denver and San Antonio are both beatable. I think Denver would be obviously the tougher series, and I think that's the one you're going to get. You have to go on the road. That's not a gimme. But Portland is going to be right there. You've got a real chance here. And if you can find a way to make a run to a Western Conference final without Nurkic, maybe this is the time that someone, you get a veteran that decides that this is a place that he wants to come be. He wants to sign up to play in this culture with that guy. Portland be damned, right? It's not about the city. I'm coming to play with that guy, and I can be the piece here. I can be the final piece to a championship team.
Well, I don't even know if it has to be that as much as it has to be just a better caliber player who understands and appreciates that Lillard empowers guys that he plays alongside.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't have to be Paul George level talent. Sometimes, as you have seen, that can actually ruin chemistry because those guys are so good.
They want theirs.
That's right. They feel like you've got to work around me. I'm freaking Paul George. Now, I don't think he's really like that, although you saw a lot of one-on-one crap out of him in this series too. But then again, like if Westbrook's not going to pass it to him, you could just see their fragmentation, you know? So Lillard just empowers his guys, and I think that makes them all look so much better. Quick told the story about Seth Curry telling him, hey, dude, shoot. Curry was struggling.
Yep.
And Curry couldn't find his role on this team.
Go get yours. Don't worry about it. You're not. You go get aggressive. Go out there and we'll make it happen.
I want you to shoot. And just doing that changed Curry's entire season. And Curry's the best three-point shooter in the NBA.
Yeah.
because of that.
Yeah.
All that took was Lillard just believing in him and empowering him. And he's done that with every player on the team. Every single player on the team feels comfortable. And that is huge because they're not made of superstars.
No.
They've got one.
No.
So here is Collin's show. He had an interview with Enes Kanter.
You played with both of them. How are they different to play with? Let's start with that.
Man, well, I'll say Russ first. Playing with Russ, it's so, it could be so tough sometimes because when you are, like, I think I said this before in your show, when you are his teammate, you cannot talk to nobody, you cannot look at nobody, or, you know, just focus on your game, you can talk to whoever after. But I think playing with Dame is so much different because, I mean, he always keep his coolness, always keep his calmness. And, I mean, they're both amazing players, really, really good leaders. But, man, Dame is just another level, man. I cannot say enough about that guy.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and there's more. He kind of goes on, but it just gives you a glimpse right there of, you know, that's a guy that's played with both. And that's like you've heard it from Kanter, Nurkic, CJ, Rodney Hood, Seth Curry. Eventually, this is going to land. And I'm just, you know, who did you look at free agents, right? Whether it's some of the bigger names out there. And I'm not saying that any of these guys are coming, but you've got a free agent class with
LeBron.
With, you know, Kawhi Leonard and Klay Thompson and DeMarcus Cousins, Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris.
Ooh, Klay Thompson.
You know, all these guys, Al Horford. You got all these guys that are free agents, Julius Randle. You know, is there a chance that someone, and I get salary cap situation, but maybe even in a sign-in trade, is this going to be a situation where someone finally says, I want to come be a part of this? Everyone says you can't get anyone to come to Portland. Because no one wants to play here.
Well, Kanter chose here.
Exactly. And if you build a good enough culture around Damian Lillard, which you have, and now you see that this team is closer maybe than anyone really realized, and you think that you could be the final piece, maybe this is the thing that finally gets maybe not a marquee guy, but a very solid final piece to the puzzle to come here.
All right, coming up next, it's time for In the News. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, believe it or not, we have done an hour and 40 minutes on the Blazers with a little Sharks mixed in.
Like four, I don't know, I'm going to say 3.5 minutes. And it was mainly you bitching about the San Jose Sharks trending on Twitter. Baby Shark.
I needed the Sharks out of my timeline last night. It was all Blazers.
Yeah.
I didn't care what the hell was going on in the hockey game. We'll get to that later.
It was creeping in a little bit last night.
So we will have, actually, believe it or not, more Blazer talk coming up after the Hot 5 at 5. Right now, though.
I was going to say tomorrow.
Yeah.
More than likely. Well, I mean, I can't say that because San Antonio's got a lot of heart. But, boy, Denver alley-whipped the Spurs last night, and they play tomorrow night. So if that happens, then, I mean, you know it's Denver, and it's Monday night, and it's in Denver.
Going to be the Nugs.
Well, either way, the game's on Monday night. It's just whether it's here in Portland or whether it's in Denver.
Is that right? I thought they said that there's a chance they move it up.
No, as far as I know, it's Monday either way. If they play tomorrow night and lose, then
But if Denver wins tomorrow, they close out the series. I thought there was a chance that they would move it to a game on the weekend, but I'm not sure about that.
At least right now on the schedule, it says that game one is Monday to be determined as far as the venue, but you may be right about moving it up.
All right, it is April 24th. Yes, April 24th, 2019. It's time for the news. I'm your noted newsman. It is National Pigs in a Blanket Day.
I don't mind. I
hate pigs in the blanket.
You hate pigs in the blanket?
I think they're stupid.
What's wrong with that?
One of my favorite snacks.
Really? Wow.
Like a Super Bowl party snack. Yeah,
and I don't like when it's the hot dog. I like when it's the little smoky. What are you bashing pigs in a blanket?
A little tiny smoky with the croissant wrapped around it.
Yeah,
delicious.
Delicious.
No, it
flaky,
isn't.
Got a little barbecue sauce in there, maybe some cheese.
Kid food. Also, denim day.
Oh, who doesn't like denim?
I don't.
You don't wear jeans?
No, I actually have no denim.
Wow. Denim free, Isaac.
My
minus
pants,
your jean jacket, of course, that you wear with the collar.
Well, that doesn't count.
Yeah. Big tiger
my
on the
pants
back.
Are green, pink, gray, blue.
That doesn't mean that they're not denim.
I know, but then there's one that I think may actually may. I'm going through my pants. Is that hot radio? I'm yeah, I think I might have one pair that's dark.
Oh.
Denim.
Love denim.
Denim's stupid. Denim and pigs in the blanket.
Wow, look at Rob taking a big old steamer.
If they had sex, you would have a denim pigs in the blanket.
It'd be a little awkward. I think you got stuck on that one. All right. It happens.
Wisconsin. Primetime Wisconsin. The Powerball, you know, the guy won $790 million or whatever?
Yeah.
He has come forward. He's a 24-year-old man.
I thought it was a gal that came forward.
No, 24-year-old guy.
Hmm. I knew it was a 24. I just thought it was a gal.
That's young. Like, the Youngs, I didn't think the Youngs really played the lottery because it's always, like, old people,
right?
I know.
It's like they've been playing the same numbers for, like, 37 years, and then it finally hits.
They're just stubborn.
He's been sitting with that winning ticket in the pocket for a long, long time.
Well, this guy is 24, and he took the lump sum, $477 million, which that's what you do. You take the lump sum.
Yes.
Because, and you just invest it. He said that he never showed up for work again.
Nor should you.
And how about being his girlfriend? Now, here's the thing. He's not married. Because usually it's just an old married couple, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, what's mine is yours.
Does she instantly, like, start pressuring him for the ring? Or
well,
does he
no.
instantly try to upgrade?
Here's the thing. So he's young, 24. He is not married. He is dating this girl. And they did say that they bought two tickets together. Lottery tickets together. But they were not the winning tickets.
Oh, he bought one on his own?
So how does he handle this?
Well, it depends. I mean, I don't think legally he has to do anything. In fact, now that he's worth a couple hundred million dollars, I'm assuming that he ditches her and upgrades. Isn't that what you do when you win the lottery?
She's got to play her cards very carefully.
Yes. Yes.
This woman.
Either that or if they bought the tickets together and he's like, no, honey, those are different tickets. Yeah, the winning ticket I bought on my own.
Now, what do you think's appropriate to give her? Because don't you give her a little? Because they probably got separate accounts and everything. I mean, they're
sure.
just dating. They're young people.
They're young people.
So don't you give her...
What was his lump sum?
$477,
and they're just dating. How long have they been dating?
I didn't read that.
Let's say a year, right?
Let's say they're... Yeah, it's like not...
No, maybe,
just for the story.
Yeah, for a year.
Let's
maybe,
not let the truth get in the way.
You know, she's spending most of her time at the place. Yeah, I float
give her...
I float her maybe three.
Three mil?
Yeah, two, three mil. Right? Make her feel good.
And that way it's like, yeah, if you break up, it's,
yeah,
she doesn't feel bad.
Yeah, whatever. It's like you've got, you know, I think that takes the pressure off you
yeah.
of her
it
being
It doesn't
like,
get awkward that way.
Yes.
And what's $3 million to you?
You've got $477, right?
Can you Venmo $3
million? I'm assuming you can. Why couldn't
you? I don't
you?
Think you can. I think they have limits.
Chase Pay?
Okay, we have a sports bar fight, Jace. This is not good. This is out of Tigard, Oregon.
Fisticuffs have broken out.
Two people in custody after a disagreement at a sports bar led to a shooting.
Oh, that's different than a fight.
Two couples got into an argument at Lou's Sports Bar and Lounge in Tigard.
Ah, Lou's.
Police said that they were there to watch the Blazers game, and they didn't know what the argument was about. Both couples eventually left the bar, and a short time later, the victim couple noticed that a vehicle was following them near Shoals Ferry and Southwest 130th. Police said a passenger in the vehicle, a woman, fired a shotgun into the victim's vehicle.
Oh my gosh.
The woman was hit and suffered a gunshot injury.
Well, luckily.
And then they fled.
Yeah, maybe if it was a shotgun, though, it was just a pellet or two, hopefully. Knock on wood.
I'm...
You know, like a buckshot sort of thing.
Yeah, so the woman who fired the shot, Christy Ann Cisco. Christiana Cisco.
I got a good idea of what...
She's out of Wilsonville.
I've got a real good idea of what she looks like.
Now,
right
why are you up in Tigard partying?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Why are you going to lose? You're from Wilsonville.
Yeah, maybe there's not... maybe those aren't the good bars to get down at.
Is that place... A real thing. I drive past that every day, and I'm like, yeah. Lou's Sports Bar.
It's never been in
is it shady looking?
It does look quite shady. I've
yeah.
never
a
been
a little
inside.
Bit, yeah.
I was going to say. Like,
it's right there on 99W.
I just feel like when there's a...
Right near the fantasy video.
Yeah, this all just kind of fits
fantasy
into one.
Dude, I am fascinated by that fantasy video that sits on the... It's okay, so you... Even if you've never been on 99, it sits right on the corner of I-5 and the Barber Boulevard exit. You can't miss it.
No.
It sits right up on the hill, like lording over everyone, like the Night King, standing on its horse with its Ditos.
And you wonder who's in there. Like, does that place do good business? It's the same one when you're driving down to Eugene, off on the left-hand side. There's an adult superstore, like, just out in the middle of nowhere, like off on the on I-5. Like, you're driving in from California and you're like, you know what I really need right now? I need some porn. Swing on into the adult emporium right there and it's all good.
Every time I drive by that, I look up into the parking lot to look at the cars. And I'm telling you, I keep tabs on that parking lot. There are a lot of cars in that parking lot at all times. I don't know what's going on in there.
Who's buying smut nowadays? Like,
I don't know, man.
What are you buying?
It's a thing.
These people don't have the internet?
And there's also, like, this weird little secret road that you have to take to get up there.
Yeah, it's not easy to get up there, and it's and there's a closed-down, like, timber shop next to it that's all boarded up and, like, overrun by weeds. So weird. But it, you know.
It's around.
The fantasy video lights are a-blinging, and
You cannot miss it.
Boobies are to be had, I guess.
Stands out. But there's not, like, live people in there, right?
I don't think so. I think it's just, like, I mean, I don't know. I need to go up there. I can't figure out how to get up there.
So, like, a video arcade in there? I've never been in a fantasy.
Maybe it has those booths where
That's why I was wondering, like.
You ever been in one of those?
Because sometimes they're live, and other times it's just, like, video screens. No, because those things are, like, horrific. Like, just the idea of being in there. You don't. Don't blacklight that. That's all bad.
Okay. We got to run.
Yeah.
We're way behind. Way behind. Haystack Rock is eroding. That story next on The Fan.
Apaya! Wanya!
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is in the news for April 24th, 2019. I only have time for one more story. It's been a busy Blazers heavy day. This next story, Jace, over there in the two chair. Are you okay?
Yeah.
What's the matter with you?
What do you mean?
Are you tired?
Yeah, I had a little bit of a yawn there. I was up early this morning.
Why?
I don't know.
Drug deal?
Can't talk about it. No, I just got up. I had things to do today, so I got up and worked out early. So it was like the 5:30 alarm clock. He's like, drag yourself out.
Stupid.
I, unlike you, do not have a natural great Italian beefcake presence about
myself.
Hey,
I got on the treadmill today, but it wasn't at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
Well, I was getting out of bed. The gym was had about 5:45, 6 o'clock.
Well, I'm sorry that you're tired.
Yes.
Need
some cocaine.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying Mike might be able to hook you up over there.
I swear, like a week or two ago, I got like, you don't take pre-workout, but have you ever had the pre-workout?
Is that what they call it? Pre-workout?
Pre-workout. So I just order it offline.
No, I don't. My pre-workout is coffee.
I try different brands, and I just ordered one off Amazon or whatever, and holy hell.
And I have a donut.
This is the equivalent of doing meth and cocaine all rolled into one. Like you take it, and then about 3 minutes later, you're just like, let's do something. And then, of
course,
what
is all that stuff? Like, why do you do that, though? What does that do for you?
It just helps you work out a little bit harder. It gives you an extra little kind of kick in the ass, especially when it's 5:30 in the morning and you don't want to get up. Take a little pre-workout, and then in about 5 minutes, you're either going to be like doing some tile grout work or you're going to go to the gym because you're not going back to bed.
Well, guys, Haystack Rock is eroding. And geologists estimate that the iconic rock, you know Haystack Rock, right?
Yes.
Out there on Cannon Beach.
Who doesn't know Haystack Rock?
Well, just making sure, you know. Yeah, they're saying that the rock will erode completely in about 3,000 years.
So, see it while you can. Is this really a thing now where people are going to be, it's going away in 3,000? Well, I'll be dead.
Well, yeah.
We'll have killed the planet by then.
Yeah, I was going to say, you say this a lot, we'll all be dead, but don't you ever worry about your children and your children's children and their children?
My parents saddled me with their problems, and I'll saddle my kids, and I've already talked to them.
You don't
even
care.
They're going to saddle their children.
You selfish bastard.
That's a problem for future me. Not current me. I'm good.
But you're right. We'll probably ruin the planet before then anyway, so
exactly.
It doesn't matter.
You know, we'll do something dumb and blow it up.
Within the last 2 years, massive chunks of Haystack Rock in Cannon Beach have come crashing down off the rock, changing the main face and northern and southern sides of the rock.
That I did know. I've seen a couple things on that where people
said there was a chunk as big as his truck.
Yeah, I've seen like videos where people have caught that and it's fallen off.
How about that?
And you can see it in pictures too. Like if you just you can see that it's changed. That's welcome to nature. Stuff changes.
Yeah. You're right.
You still take your picture in front of it and be like, I was at Haystack Rock.
Hey,
I feel like if you're from this area, at some point in your life you have a picture in front of Haystack Rock.
Now let me ask you this. If you go out there to Cannon Beach.
Sure.
A lot to offer out there, Cannon Beach, and then you got Seaside over there.
I got nothing against that.
If Haystack Rock weren't there,
yeah.
Does it change your experience at all?
No, not one bit. I mean, no offense to Haystack Rock. I mean, it's iconic, but it's just a big rock. I mean,
now if Seaside weren't there, wouldn't it be a better experience?
Look at you, just taking shots.
Well, come on,
Seaside. Come on, you don't want to go down to the boardwalk and play that little game where you like.
No.
You roll the ball and it's like a Plinko sort of thing?
I don't. Cannon Beach, way better. Way better.
Yeah, I'm more of a, I've gone down, Pacific City has kind of become our go-to spot.
Yeah, that's nice. You've been to Salishan down there?
I've been to Salishan. Make your way on over to the Tillamook Cheese Factory. Look, the Oregon coast is great.
Eat some cheese curds.
And just keep going down. Head to Bandon.
Bandon.
There you go.
Don't they have a golf course there?
I've heard
love
something
that
about
place.
That.
By the way, I was just reading about Sheep's Ranch, which is the northernmost property at Bandon.
Yeah, the little par three, whatever.
Well, it's not a par three. It's a... What it has been recently is... Well, what they built a bunch of greens out there. It's like 10 or 11 greens.
Yeah, don't you just play whatever you...
There's no golf course. You just play... Like, there's no golf carts or anything. You get in your truck and you throw beer in there and you throw your golf clubs... And you just play it however you want to play it. Like, hey, yeah. Let's go at that green and make it a par six or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what the Sheep's Ranch has been. And there's this whole mystique of you got to find the guy to get on.
Never played it.
How do you get on? I haven't either. But I guess it's great. Well, anyway, they're actually building another 18-hole golf course on that.
Oh.
And I was just reading about that.
And it will be a top 15 course in the country?
No question. It's like they say it's actually... Maybe even the best piece of property out there.
Because the worst course is Trails, and that's like ranked in the teens usually.
Worst course. This is going to be controversy here. I believe that the worst course. There's no bad course out there.
No,
they're all
top 25 courses in the country.
So they're not worst. But of the four, the one that I would rank last, believe it or not, is Old MacDonald.
Really? Because that now usually gets ranked number one.
It does?
Yeah.
Ugh. No, Pacific Dunes is the best one out there, or Bandon. And then Trails, I think, is undervalued. And Old Mac is just, I don't know, it's my least favorite of the four, even though it's still great.
Of non-private clubs, I think Old MacDonald always goes one out there. And I'm not saying it ends up being one in the country. I think it ends up being three or four. And then it's Pacific, then Dunes, and then Trails.
Don't like it?
I'll find the latest rankings for you.
Yeah, so anyway, you should read up on that. They're starting to kind of put out some promo material on what they're doing up at Sheep's Ranch. It looks pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Solid.
All right, that's in the news for April 24th, 2019. Coming up next, the Hot 5 at 5, the top 5 sports stories of the day on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.